Welcome to the OA Virtual Kitchen Sink Meeting Podcast. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live and how to donate to support this meeting and our podcasts. The opinions expressed on the Kitchen Sink Podcast are those of the individual speakers and do not represent OA as a whole. And now, our speaker.
Now is the time for the leader to share. It says here, we ask that you keep the focus on your recovery in Overeaters Anonymous and refrain from mentioning the names of any specific outside organization, individual, or non-OA conference or board-approved literature. And I qualify till 9:30. Okay. My name is Ron. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovering know-it-all. I am so grateful that Bob asked me to speak. This program has saved my life. I came into program in November of 1979, got abstinent immediately, and about 8 months later, I gave it away. I kept coming to meetings, and in November, in July 8 of 1981, the pain of eating became greater than not eating, and I got abstinent. God removed the obsession. I don't have the obsession any longer. I have 42 years of continuous abstinence, but every day and every meal, my responsibility is what I choose to eat and how much. God doesn't do that for me. My sponsor years ago said to me, a lot of people talk about what it was like. I want you to talk about what it was like, what happened, and how little you've changed. So I have learned so much in this program. My sponsor used to say to me, when you speak at a meeting, do not share your fourth step. Problems with your sponsor, solutions at the meeting. He said, meetings are not cheap group therapy. I am so incredibly grateful. I am a slow learner. So at 36 years of abstinence, God finally said to me, it is time that you learn a lesson about sponsoring. I sponsored people early on, food sponsoring, because I didn't know anything about the steps. And I tried to fix them. I tried to change them. I tried to rescue them. And one by one, everyone fired me. Over all of those years, 34 years, no one ever asked me to sponsor them. I had nothing to give. At 36 years, God said, it is time and you are now ready to learn that your job as a sponsor is not to fix anybody, not to rescue, not to change anybody. Your job is to take your sponsee through the 12 steps so that they can find their own higher power that will solve their problem. And if you look on page 45 of the big book, it says the main purpose of this book is to help us find a power greater than ourselves that can solve our problem. And I thought food was my problem. Food was my solution to my problem. My problem is thinking. And on page 23 in the big book, it says, the disease centers mainly in my mind, not in my body. So before the meeting, the disease part of my mind, not the recovery, said, well, you need to impress everybody. You need to say something that will absolutely change somebody's life. And I've been in program long enough to say and recognize this is the disease talking. When negativity is going on in that committee in my mind, now I know that it's the disease. It's not the recovery part of my mind. And what I get to say is, thank you for sharing. The only thing I need to be honest to be when I share is honest. So I was born and raised in Los Angeles to a lower middle class family. We couldn't afford to go to May Company or Broadway. We had to go to Sears, and I had to go into the Husky department, which was very demoralizing. My life was from a dysfunctional family, and I ate over all of that, not knowing what else to do. I became a psychotherapist because I felt that if I could analyze my life well enough, I could control it. And the only thing I got out of analysis was a well-defined problem. I did not find the answers until I started working the steps slowly, very slowly. And years later, after I had taken the 12 steps and practiced them, God said to me, I think it's time that you forgive all those people that harmed you as a child. And I was willing to do that. And I did that through page 552 in the big book. And slowly, I always forgive myself first. Slowly, I out loud said, I forgive you for whatever. And months and months later, I started realizing, you know, because I forgave those people who I made my higher power because I held on to it all these years, I am living happy, joyous, and free. And one of the definitions is happy is the absence of fear, joyous is living in gratitude, and free is free of the obsession. I never heard any of this in any psych class. I remember Tom said to me, there is my business, there is your business, and there is none of my business. And most things that happen in my life are none of my business. And as I practiced that more and more, my life became more and more serene, and I gave up more and more trying to control things that I have no control over. This program is such a gift. I do a daily 10 step, and I used to, years ago, I would edit it. I would be very honest with God and myself, but then I would edit it and then send it to my sponsor. And I was in a meeting and I heard somebody say, I need to find one person that I can tell anything to. They're not going to blame me. They're not going to shame me. They're not going to fix me. They're not going to, you know, tell me you're bad. None of that. And I thought to myself, what do I believe about my current sponsor that I'm editing when I send it? So the next morning, because I do my 10 step in the morning, I literally left everything in, and it was no big deal. And so now I write everything. Most of the time, I live happy, joyous, and free. Most of the time, after 42 years, I still need help. And I'm still teachable. And I am so grateful that my ego, which stands for edging God out, that when something happens, almost automatically, I say, thank you, God. That's not me. My abstinence is a gift from God. My 6 and 7 step, 6 being honest with what feeling or situation is going on. And once I accepting it in seven, asking God to remove it, I relax and take it easy, and I see how I can be of value to other people. Thank God I don't have to work this program perfectly. I learned early on in program that perfectionism leads to procrastination, which leads to paralysis. The more I try to do anything perfectly, the more frightened I became. My dad, who didn't mean anything by it, told me as a child over and over and over again, if you can't do it right, don't do it at all. And I began to realize, my sponsor used to teach me, some effort is better than no effort at all. I had never heard that. So tiny steps for tiny feet, as they say in program. So years ago, about, I don't know, 8-10 years ago, I decided to do exercises. And I started with planking. And planking is getting into a push-up position and just holding it. The first day, I did 5 seconds. And I fell to the floor. The next day, I did 5 seconds. The next day, I did 6 seconds. And I slowly improved. And if I wasn't able to, and I was able to do 5 seconds, remember that the two most important words in the English language are, so what? Because all I'm responsible for is making an effort. I'm not responsible for the results of anything. So I now do sit-ups. I do bridges. I don't know what they're called. I do push-ups. I work with weights. And it's all because I was never willing to do any of that. It's willing because I learned that some effort is better than no effort at all. And the funny thing is, since I've been doing planking for, I don't know, 8 to 10 years, I don't have a 10-pack stomach. I don't have a 6-pack stomach. I don't have a 4-pack stomach. I don't have a snack pack stomach. But I know it's good for me. And so I keep doing it. Sometimes I get up in the morning and the disease part of my mind says, oh, you don't want to do your exercises today. And I say, thank you for sharing. And I get down on the ground and I do it. Every day I do prayer and meditation. I pray for people. I do a 10-step. I send it to my sponsor. I'm so grateful. When I was early in program, you know, we had the gray sheet and the orange sheet and the blue sheet. And I was told to get a food sponsor. So I went up to somebody and asked him, and she said, call me every morning and tell me what you're going to eat. Well, early in program, it used to be suggested that especially during the time you binged, call somebody in program every day. And so I was teachable. And so every day I would call different people in program and talk about all of the drama that I created. I didn't realize it at the time. And they were so kind to listen to me rant on and on and on and on and on. But it kept me abstinent for one more day. I remember I heard somebody say, it doesn't matter how many years you have, you only have today. So anything I did for my recovery yesterday has no bearing on what I do today. This program has literally saved my life. I remember I was going up to visit my family, which We all eat. And I called my sponsor and I said, I'm nervous. I'm afraid. And he said, on page 102, and I think it's 128, it says, go with an attitude of what you can bring instead of what you can get. And then he said, when you're there, ask your brother and sisters, so how's your life going? People love talking about themselves. So I went up and I my sponsor used to say, do something for someone else and not get found out. So I went up and I cleaned my sister's bathroom. And I remember I noticed that her towels were threadbare. So every time I came up with new towels and I anonymously just left them there. And most of her towels today are towels that I gave her. And she says to me, I don't know, I get these towels and I give them away and then I get new ones. And it's very funny. But the idea of asking my brother, so how are things going? And he would go on and on and on. Do you know what your sisters are doing? And I said, no, please tell me. Because I learned in program, I don't give advice. I don't give my opinion unless there's a question mark at the end of a sentence. And there has almost never been a question mark with anybody in my family. So I learned how to listen differently. And all of my sisters and brothers are more than willing to open up to me nowadays. The Munchkins, my nieces and nephews, will talk to me because whether I agree with what they're doing or not, it's none of my business. I got enough problems with me. So it is such a gift to be able to let go of all of this control that I thought I had to have. And the truth of the matter is, most of the things in my life are none of my business. Yesterday, I had two flat tires. So I pumped them up and I went to my mechanic and he said, you have two punctures and we're going to plug them. And so he plugged them and I paid for them and I got in my car and I quietly said, thank you, God, because now I can drive safely. What a gift. Before that, I would eat a refrigerator. I would go out and, you know, and have a party. And I didn't have to do any of that. On page 84, it says, which talks about
step 2 minutes left.
When feelings or situations come up, we immediately deal with them. We immediately call someone. I'm not good at that. And I don't have to be, because I don't have to be perfect. What I get to do is when I recognize what I was feeling or what was going on, I can do a 10th step. And then I can do a 6th step, become aware of what the situation was and what my feelings are. I can do a 7th step and ask God to remove it. And what I feel is a little lift in my body when God removes it. If I don't feel that, I need to go back and do a 10th step and try to ask God to help me find what the underlying cause is. Because sometimes it's not what I think it is. This program is such a gift. And I am so grateful. In July, I'll have 43 years, and I am more surprised than anybody. And it's only a day at a time. It is such a blessing. The last thing is I'm privileged to sponsor 4 men. I learned so much from them. And I have a funny thing. If one of them is having a situation and there is a dead silence, sometimes I will say to them, 1-800-BAD-SPONSOR, and they laugh, And then they open up and they talk about what's going on. And it's not my responsibility to fix them. All I get to do is listen and ask them, because I can only share what I did. I can't share what, I don't know what they need to do. I ask them, do you think working the steps might help? And they go, oh, I forgot that. Good.
That's your time.
So do I. Very good. Thank you very much. This is a time for questions only. There is no sharing at this meeting. If you need to share, please do so with any one of us after the meeting. Also, please remember that the opinions of the leader are my own and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. When asking questions, you need not identify yourself. If you asked a question last week, please wait until the first three questions have been asked before raising your hand. If you have a question, please click on the raise your hand icon and Ryan will call on you.
Deb, go ahead.
Thanks, Ryan. Ron, thank you so much. I just got so much out of what you said. Can you talk about relationships and how they've changed, in recovery? Family relationships, work relationships, any kind of relationship. Thanks.
Well, I used to be nice to people because my attitude was, then you owe me. And then you have to be my friend. I don't do that anymore. If people want to be my friend, that's fine. If they don't want to be my friend, that's okay. As I said, the benefit of not giving advice and not even sharing experience, strength, and hope with anybody, unless there's a question mark, has made relationships a lot easier. Because I don't know about you, when I would listen to somebody, I wasn't listening to them. I was thinking how I could respond. And that, for me, is not listening. So much of the time, because I thank God I don't do this thing perfectly, I will listen to what somebody is talking about and even ask questions about it. It's like I'm going to have lunch with a friend of mine today, and he's been singing in an opera. So I'm going to ask him about how that experience has been. Sometimes I'm not even interested in what somebody is talking about, but it's not about me. So I get to ask them, and whether I'm bored or not, I'll just sit there and look like I'm interested. Doesn't matter. I don't need to be rigorously honest with everybody. Program says I only need to be rigorously honest with myself, my higher power, and one other person. So hope that answers your question.
Karen.
Hi, Ron. Thank you so much for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us.
Did I tell your story well enough?
You did such a great job. I can't even stand it. In fact, I'll never need to share. I'll just ask you to do it for me. Would you please talk about the development of your relationship with God, how it was when you were maybe growing up before you came into the fellowship, and then if it's changed over time and what it's like now for you? Thank you.
Well, I was raised in Judaism, and for me, in conservative Judaism, God was an intellectual concept. There was no personal God. That's an Orthodox concept. But my parents decided to raise us conservative. And conservative, there was no connection with God. God was just an intellectual concept. But because of my diseased mind, when I went to Hebrew school and they would talk about God in the Bible, I only heard the negative. God was going to judge me and God was going to punish me and whatever. And when I come to program and I start talking to my sponsor He said, how does that work for you? And I said, it doesn't, because I'm terrified that every time I get a cold, God's punishing me. So there was people suggested lovingly, write on a piece of paper what you don't like in a God, and on the opposite side, what you do want in a God. Never worked for me. Worked for some people. And then I had other people make wonderful suggestions. And then one day I was at an AA dance, because I go to a lot of AA meetings. I'm not an alcoholic, but they allow me to go to their meetings. And there was Dottie Shore. Dottie Shore was a big name in AA. And I knew Dottie. And I said, Dottie, I've been trying to find a higher power. I don't know what they've been telling me, do this and that, whatever. She said, Ron, please don't do that to yourself. All you have to do is say, God, reveal yourself as you really are, and then start looking. So I was working at UCLA, and I went into Westwood, and I went into a Christian bookstore, and I went up to the person, and I said, do you have a Judaic section? And she said, yes. Well, God has a sense of humor, because the Judaic section was on the floor, and I had to get on my knees to read the titles, and Jews don't get on their knees. So here I'm on my knees, and I found a book that I read that totally opened my mind to the concept of a power greater than myself, of my own choosing. And slowly, I acted as if that new higher power was my higher power. And I acted as if for years and years and years. And then one day, I had a cousin who was dying of AIDS. And I was in the hospital, and I was holding his hand. And I just privately said, God, if it be your will, heal my cousin. And if it's your will that he should die, please help me to accept it and to deal with it utilizing program. I don't know where that came from. And over the years, from practicing thanking God, I heard once somebody say, I get up every morning and I say, I love you, God. Never heard that before. So over the years, the acting as if became part of my life. And now my higher power is a buddy. I can tell anything to God, and God doesn't judge me. God doesn't punish me. God loves me unconditionally. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you.
Carolyn, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. I just absolutely loved your talk and your answers and everything. And I took lots of notes. But there's one thing I'd like to ask you. You said perfection leads to something which leads to paralysis. Do you remember what the middle?
Perfectionism leads to procrastination, which leads to paralysis.
Yes, so true. Okay.
And the neat thing in program early on, we used to say, how do you keep your weight off? Running up and down the 12 steps.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bob.
Hey, Ron, thank you very much for your share. How important is service to you in this program?
Service is incredibly powerful. And I do service many different ways. I sponsor people. I take positions in my home OA group. I'm not good at it, but that's okay. But I make an effort. My sponsor used to say, if you use the word try, you're going to fail. Instead, change it to make an effort. So I make an effort to try to reach out to somebody in program, and I ask them if I get their answering machine, please call me back. And most people don't. And that's okay. It used to bother me. And then I worked the steps on it and realized it's my expectation that I'm so important that they're going to call me back. They don't call back. That's okay. If I need to, I can bless them. And it's absolutely credible. I was blessed to do two workshops, one in Edmonton, Canada, and the other one in Washington State. And it was amazing. I remember once on Friday night, I asked everybody to go around the room, introduce themselves, and tell me what they would like to get out of the workshop or what they would like to take away with them. And the one in Washington, people asked over and over again, what is the main teaching in Overeaters Anonymous? And I just wrote it down, turned it over to God. God woke me up at 5 a.m. I don't know why he couldn't have woken me up at 7, but he woke me up at 5 a.m. And our first session at 9 o'clock, I said, I turned over your questions to God, and God gave me your answer. You're not going to like it. And they said, we want to hear it. And it's on page 417. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today.
Judy, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Judy, compulsive eater. Ron, thank you so much for your share. I really enjoyed it and appreciated it. I have one question. Could you clarify, you said that you send your sponsor, I believe you said you send your sponsor everything at the end of the day. Is that food? Does that include writing, 10-step, 11-step, something like that? Just curious. Thanks, Warren.
That's my 10-step. And I do it in the morning because I am 76 years old and my mind doesn't work well at night. And there's nothing in the big book that says I should do my 10th step at night. On page 86, where it says, and when we retire, that's step 11. I didn't realize that until a year ago. So I tried writing different formats and it worked, but it didn't really work. And then finally, God said, why don't you just write me a letter? So I write a letter to God every day, and I tell God everything that went on. If I remember, because sometimes I don't, something that I felt uncomfortable about or had an issue with, then I will write about it. And my sponsor said, in your 10th step, if you share a little bit about the situation, what program says to do about it, and what actions you've taken, that shares experience, strength, and hope. So often I will, because of being 42 years, most of the time I know what the answers are. So I will write a situation down, and I will write what was my part, and I will ask God to forgive me and to help God help me to forgive myself, because I'm of no value if I'm walking around feeling bad about myself. So, and most of the time I've learned through the daily 10 steps, every time I resent somebody, every time I'm upset with somebody, I'm making them my higher power. I don't think I want to do that today. So I will do a 10 step and then 6 and 7 to release it. And it has been extremely helpful. There are times when my disease part of my mind says, oh, you don't want to tell your sponsor that. No, 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 no. But I don't listen to it. And the recovery says, write it anyway. And I write it and nothing happens. I had something happen the other day that I was mortified. And I wrote it to my sponsor, and he wrote back, I've done the same thing. So hope that answers.
All right, Mark L., we have about 2.5 minutes left.
My name is Mark. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic. What's your first service job you did, Ron?
I think my first service job was a meeting rep. Is that what they call it? I forgot what we call it. And then after that, I became treasurer. I became literature speaker getter. I forgot, but. And I choose not to do anything on any level outside of a meeting, mainly because I know myself, and just, you know, we used to say in program, sharing is giving service. And for me, I guess it is. If I'm sharing experience, strength, and hope, and not, poor me, ain't it awful, let me tell you all my problems, then maybe that's what I'm doing. I'm being of service. By the way, thank you. You're speaking in 2 weeks, and you offered to finish my share.
Yay. Thanks, buddy.
All right, you got less than a minute, David. Let's see if it's a quick question or not.
Yes, it's a very quick one. Thanks, everybody. I'm David, compulsive overeater. Thanks, Ron. Excellent. Could you talk a little bit about being okay with the way people treat you and the way the world is and how it relates to your relationships with your family, your brothers, sisters, you know, the way your father, mother may have been in the past? Please. Thank you.
I'm not sure what you're asking. Most of the time, if somebody hurts my feelings, I ask God to help me to recognize it and not to ask why. I was always told in program, when you ask why, you're trying to control. But what is underneath that it's triggering in me? Because if I'm reacting to somebody, it normally is because it's triggered something within myself. And I can choose to work the steps. I can call people in program and talk about it and not let it control me.